This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is scheduled to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un Sunday in Pyongyang, his fourth trip to the North this year and third as Secretary of State. President Donald Trump last week pointed to a possible second summit with the North Korean leader following the first June summit in Singapore. Plans for a late August trip by Pompeo was canceled amid a growing concern over the lack of progress toward the North's denuclearization. But State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert spoke of forward progress.
As we often say, the conversations continue. Of course, we have quite a ways to go, but we look forward to the next steps in this conversation. And a lot of these things, as you well know, are not things that we're going to discuss publicly. These are private diplomatic conversations as we work toward our goal of full denuclearization of North Korea.
North Korea's foreign minister told the UN last week international sanctions presented an impediment to his country's goodwill gestures to ending nuclear missile testing and dismantling a nuclear test site. But Nauert signaled no change in current U.S. policy.
We got behind the maximum pressure campaign. The United States government still stands firmly behind the sanctions put in place. The world stands behind those sanctions that have put in place. We've not eased that one bit.
Pompeo is also scheduled to visit South Korea, Japan, and China. In Beijing, he's expected to discuss bilateral, regional, and global issues with his Chinese counterparts. The visit comes amid economic and security tensions with Beijing. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said in Paris Tuesday that the U.S. would stand with France against the jihadist threat in Mali.
And we have also supported the French-led effort with the African troops that the French are supporting. And we have no intention of cutting back one bit.
Mattis said the U.S. plans to maintain its intelligence and logistical support and embraces the French mission. This is VOA News. On Indonesia's Sulawesi Island, time is running out as rescuers dig through debris for survivors of Friday's 7.5 magnitude earthquake and tsunami that left more than 1,400 dead and hundreds injured. Hundreds are still missing and tens of thousands have been displaced. Roads and bridges have become damaged or inaccessible. Paul Dillon with the International Organization for Migration spoke of the condition of the Palu port.
The port itself has not been damaged. The cranes and gantries and the equipment that you would use to remove goods from vessels have been badly damaged, in some cases completely knocked down.
Hervé Verhoesel with the World Food Program said getting help in is difficult.
The situation is difficult with shortage of fuel, damage to road, sea infrastructure and airport impacting the work. The telecoms are intermittent.
The U.S. is among more than two dozen countries and international groups responding with funding and the deployment of disaster experts. Iraqi Kurdish politician Barham Saleh was easily elected the country's president Tuesday and immediately named Shia Adel Abdul Mahdi as prime minister designate. It followed months of delay since a May election. The 76-year-old Abdul Mahdi's first task is to form a government in 30 days and then confront the massive reconstruction following a four-year conflict with Islamic State. Saudi Arabia is infusing Yemen with $200 million to stem the slide of its currency that had made food expensive for the impoverished nation. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization said the country's cholera epidemic is accelerating. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres Tuesday addressed the plight of the Rohingya Muslims in an address Tuesday in the Indian capital, New Delhi.
And this could have negative impacts, not only in Bangladesh or in Myanmar, but in the whole region. So to support the Rohingya community for them to be able to go back and to enjoy the normal rights of citizenship is, I think, of enormous importance for all of us.
Hundreds of thousands of Rohingya fled a security crackdown last year in Myanmar, also known as Burma. A trio of American, French, and Canadian scientists jointly won the 2018 Nobel Prize for Physics for their work on laser technology. Among them, Canada's Donna Strickland, the first woman to achieve the physics prize in 55 years.
We need to celebrate women physicists because we're out there, and hopefully in this time it'll start to move forward at a faster rate, maybe.
The other recipients include American Arthur Ashkin and Frenchman Gerard Moreau. The Liberian Central Bank says it, after all, didn't lose more than $100 million. Reports the money disappeared at a Monrovia port last month created protests and an investigation. Central Bank Governor Nathaniel Petre, however, did not give a reason for the delay in his announcement. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.